And we just want to encourage you, and it's always good to see those who are members here of the Northwest Body. We're thankful to God to be here with you today. I want to get into my lesson this morning. We have discovered that our PowerPoint machine is not working today, so you're going to have to open up your Bibles and follow along with me. Again, thank God for this opportunity to be here with you today. I want to title this lesson, Too Many Babies in the Lord's Church. Too Many Babies in the Lord's Church. If you have noticed over the years the changes that are going on in the body of Christ, we are apparently looking more like the world than the true Christians who believe in what thus saith the Lord, who follow Jesus' teachings of his holy word and the apostles whom he delegated to teach us these spiritual truths. We're looking more like the world as far as our attitudes towards the church, and we're acting more like children rather than spiritual adults who carry out the will of God. And the reason why we're acting like children is simply because people want what they want. And if it's according to the word of God, amen. If it's not, amen. Because children have that selfish attitude, and most people are simply just plain selfish that call themselves Christians. How do I know that? I know that simply because of the fact the Bible says you can know a tree by the fruit it bears. And when we are bearing things different than the pattern that has been set for us to follow, then something is wrong. And I can only come to the conclusion as I look around the world. I'm just not talking about here in Huntsville or in Alabama, but yet I have traveled the circuit and seen many, many things. And I'm here to tell you that too many of us are acting like babies in the Lord's church. It is about time for us to grow up, accept the facts of the truth, and deal with whatever we have to deal with, that we may be mature and strong Christians, convicted to do the word of God. That's all I'm trying to get you to see. And I have come to think that, hey, why aren't we growing? Why aren't we doing more and more mission work? And I simply believe it is because we have too many babies in the church. Now, let me explain to you why. First of all, children don't want to suffer. They don't want to go through the things that they must go through in order to live this Christian life. We may claim that we are Christians, but Jesus said in Matthew 7 that many will come to me in that day and profess to be believers in the Lord. He said, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? Haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name? Oh, God, haven't we cast out demons? And yet Jesus is going to tell those people who profess to be following him, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are simply because of the fact that you have not been following my will. You have not been doing what I have commanded you to do. You say you love me, but under the pretense of love, you say these things. But yet your heart is so far away from where I want you to be. We need to understand the reason why the church is not as strong as it is simply because we got too many babies and too many people not willing to grow up spiritually. My brothers and sisters, it's not about a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing. We all grow physically because that's a natural process. But to grow spiritually, you have to take time out and learn what the will of God is for your life. Now, I want you to open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 5 and begin to look there, first of all, at verse number 7 as we share these thoughts with you. Too many babies in the Lord's church. I want you to begin to understand that Jesus had to go through a growth process, and it was difficult for him because the Bible records this. Watch what the Bible says starting at verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest, and the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dulled of hearing. While he lived on earth and anticipated death, Jesus cried out in pain, weeping in sorrow, as he offered up priestly prayers to God, because he honored God. God answered him. But I want you to understand why he lived in this flesh, why he grew to be the man he became. It was simply because he was willing to take on the challenges of going through something, my friend, and yet not giving in to sin. See, Jesus had to go through something. He had to suffer more than we could ever imagine. But yet he took on the challenges and faced them because he trusted and prayed unto God. Let me take you back. Let me take you back to the trials and the tribulations that our Lord had to go through in order to get to this point in his life that he can be the author of eternal salvation. Look at Matthew chapter 27 and look at verse number 46 as we begin to see and to understand the suffering and the pain of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the challenges of facing the cross. And while he hung on that cross, yet he cried out to God. And he cried out to him. And in turn, he discovered that he was there all alone. Listen to the Bible. In verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, Jesus had to bear the cross all along, that we may go free. There is a cross that we're going to have to bear, that we may also see. Watch what? This was the evidence, the proof of Jesus' reverence, love for the Father. The reverent love came from his obedience to do God's holy and divine will. The proof was the evidence that was developed through the suffering and the spiritual anguish that our Lord had to go through and deal with. Imagine in your own bodies the pain passing through your physical body and the mental anguish gripping your soul as the torment raged throughout your loins, as did Christ's body, or the mental stress that was pressed upon him when he learned that he had to bear this all by himself. All by himself. He had to deal with this. Where were the disciples, those loved men that proclaimed that they loved him and that they would die with him? Where were they? They had abandoned him and left him all alone. One thing that I have discovered in this life, that it is a most morbid thing, sad, to be on your deathbed and have nobody there with you. Oh, what a hurtful thing. To know that no one loved you enough to be there by your side when you are lying there and you are about to die. Oh, what a sad thing. What a morbid event. What a painful thing to know that you are separated from those that care about you. And to look up and see how Jesus prayed fervently to God, and to realize upon that cross that his Father was no longer there, because God could not bear to look upon the sins and the problems and the troubles that had been placed upon his shoulder. He turned his back on his beloved Son. Oh, my God, what would it feel like to be forsaken, to be left all alone and on your deathbed? That's what Jesus felt. That's what he felt. Can you imagine the anguish there as he cries out to God and ask that question, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or to be forsaken is a sad thing in life. But he did this. He went through this trial. He suffered like this because he wanted to know what you had to go through. If you look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, watch what the Bible says. And I'm going to read this from the Living Translation. Since we, God's children, are human beings made of flesh and blood, he became flesh and blood too by being born in human form, for only as a human being could he die and in dying break the power of the devil who had the power over death. See, Jesus went through this agony, through all this torment, something that you could not possibly bear, in order to be able to be by your side when you die. Oh, what a morbid thing not to have someone by your side when you are lying on your deathbed. Oh, what pain. I have seen many people that had to have hospice care because of the fact that no one was there. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when we look at the life of our Lord and Savior, He came here to be an example for you and for me that we wouldn't have to face that fear of dying alone. He was there. And after placing all his trust in the Father, after doing all he can to lead many to our God, he had to suffer all alone. No one to comfort him. No one to whisper sweet words of encouragement into his ears. All alone, he was left all alone for you and me. He suffered this shame, this embarrassing moment as he hung there on the cross because of you and me. His God, his Father, whom he prayed to fervently, whom he worshiped from a pure and sincere heart. This man whom we call Jesus had to die all alone for you and me. All alone. To save people like us. Oh, this cry that we talked about, this word strongly implies a roaring cry. As I hear him from across the globe, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't no weak little cry. He was crying out to God because he realized how much he needed God at that time. But yet, he was not thinking so much about himself. He was thinking about you and me. Oh, my brothers and sisters. Oh, he was thinking about me. Somebody that doesn't deserve God's love. Somebody that has turned their back on God. Somebody who has walked in the ways of the world, lived the ways of the world, and yet Jesus had to bear the cross all alone that I and that you could be free. Oh, my God, watch as we look at the text a little bit further, as he agonized, and as the Bible talks about his agony, in Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse number 36, the Bible says this, "Then come Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to sorrow, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will, Lord. Not my will, but thine will. Understand, Jesus took his best men with him. His best men. Peter, James, and John. And he began to explain to them, I am in deep, deep sorrow. Stay here while I go and pray. He even encourages them to pray. But yet, guess what? They fell asleep on him. They fell asleep on him. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, even when we are going through great stress and we share those thoughts with other people, they don't seem to care sometimes because we are caught up in our own little selfish world and the only thing we are thinking about is ourselves. And in turn, I'm tired, Lord. I don't want to go the extra mile. I don't want to give my coat away. I don't want to do this. We get caught up, and that's the reason why I say to you today, there are too many babies in the church, because all babies are concerned about is what's good for them. That's all they're concerned about. As long as they are happy, everything is all right. But yet, when it comes down to the fact that you have to struggle through some things in this life to remain faithful to God, babies don't want no part of that. They want it easy. They want their ears tickled. They want to be tickled. They want to be pleased. They want people to do what they want them to do and not take up their crosses and follow Jesus. Why do you think the church is moving into the entertainment world? Why do you think the churches are trying to please folk and get numbers? Why are we so focused on building cathedrals these days and other things? Hey, we are not looking at what others' needs are. You know, brothers and sisters, let me give you a round of applause here, because you saw a need over in Liberia, and now the need is even greater. It's even greater. Let's not think so much about ourselves, but let's understand our brothers and sisters over there in Liberia, in a village that you sent me to preach the gospel of Christ, are now suffering. Let's look at them, because all Jesus ever did was look out for you. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? That's all he ever did. That's all he was ever concerned about is others. That's the reason why he cried in such agony. That's the reason why he hung on this cross in shame, because he was concerned about us. And we need to be concerned about our brothers and sisters across the water who are dying in their homes and being left there to suffer. Oh, my brothers and sisters, oh, we need to stop being like the world, and we need to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus. We need to be more like him. Look a little bit further with me as we talk about this agony in which our Lord has suffered. Have we suffered? Have we agonized over the lost souls, over the people that are ailing and sick and dying from a dreaded virus, those brothers and sisters who are involved in wars and strife and all this stuff? What about our sister congregations in the area or in the world that have strayed off the straight and narrow and now follow some other way? Listen to Jesus as he cries out in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 41 through 45. Watch what the scriptures say here as he goes through this agony. The Bible says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly." I mean, think about it, brothers and sisters. He was already in agony, and yet God sent an angel his way to give him some strength. You think he would get up and he would just pep up, right? But then the scriptures teach us that he even prayed with more desire. He was in more agony. He was in more stress, that it led him to this point. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down
to the ground. Oh, Lord,
can you see the picture of someone praying so intensely, realizing what he had to bear that was ahead of him, that he starts sweating like blood falling from his brow? You know, I'm perspiring a little bit now, but yet can you imagine the intensity of it? Can you imagine the torment that was physically raging throughout his body, all the mental stress that he had to bear? And understand, he had to bear it all alone. Nobody shared in that with him. The disciples were over there asleep. Nobody to help him with his pain. Nobody to comfort him. That's the reason why I say to you, to die all alone is a most agonizing process. Oh, he sweated. And yet when he went back to his disciples, he finds them asleep. He had explained to them that he was in all kind of sorrow and sadness, that he was physically going through pain, but yet they were not concerned. I feel sometimes like people in the church, because we are still babes in Christ, are not concerned about the suffering that's going on in life every day for some folk. We're not concerned about those who are outside our families. We're only concerned about ourselves. I'm here to tell you, Jesus was concerned about the world. In Hebrews, it says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he went through, by the things he had to suffer. He learned from that. Brothers and sisters, when we don't go through things in life, how can we learn to be obedient to Christ? When we cannot see and relate to the agony and the suffering that he went through for you, how will you ever grow to maturity in the body of Christ? You will be content with the state that you're in, and in that old selfish state of mind, continue to walk disorderly according to the will of God. I'm here to encourage you today. Let us get serious about our Lord. Remember, he did not forsake God's will. He did not forsake God's will, for he knew that fulfilling God's will was the pathway, the only way that he could save you today. It's all because of what Jesus did. So he separated himself from God Almighty by taking on our sins in order to save us. He learned that it was the thing that he had to do in order to save the world. So he became flesh for us, that we might be saved. Now, why are there all these babies in the church when we know the path that we should be going? Jesus learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Babies don't want to go through anything. That's the reason why Jesus leads us into the next text. Look there with me as we contemplate verse 12, and the lesson will be yours here shortly. Watch what the Bible says. You have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, someone needs to teach you again the basic things about God's word. What? I realize what Jesus has done for me, correct? I realize how much he has cried out for my soul, what he was willing to sacrifice, and how intense that was. But yet, we still have too many folks that have been in the Lord's body for so long, and yet still need the ABCs. Brothers and sisters, don't you think it's about time to grow up? Don't you think it's about time to get serious? Because many are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we go to church? And he's not going to know who you are because of the fact that you haven't grown since you became a member of the Lord's body? Huh? That's what he's saying to us. That's what the Hebrew writer is trying to lead us. Wait now, isn't it about time for us to step up to the plate? Isn't it about time for us to put down the bottle and start eating some meat? Isn't it about time for you to grow up? But as long as we say children, you know what that literally says? We don't have to be responsible. Huh? We don't have to be responsible. We don't have to be responsible about our soul. I'm just a child. Then you know how we do babies. When babies do little nasty things and say little nasty things, we want to call them cute. Oh, he's so cute. That's the way the world thinks. Instead of correcting the problem, we tolerate the problem. Instead of doing something about it, we just sit there like knots on a log and let things go by because we haven't grown up spiritually enough to see the danger in the things that are happening in the church today. Come on. Come on. I mean, think about it. There are only a few Black churches in the brotherhood that have elders. Y'all ever? Come on, y'all visit around like I do when you go other places? Brothers and sisters, that's a dangerous thing. We need to be growing, and some of these congregations have been in existence for years and have had members, faithful men for years, and yet none of them qualify to be God's leaders in the church. You know? Come on. It is what it is. And the reason why the church is not maturing because of the fact that the membership is not maturing. We ain't taking time out to study our word to make sure we're following the straight and narrow path. We're content with coming to church on Sunday and that's it. And you expect God to save you. You better be careful. You better be careful. You better start eating some meat here that your bodies may mature, that you may be able to accept the challenges that you're going to have to face in this life. Oh, I thank God for this morning because we were studying about a man who builds his house upon a rock. Oh, yes. And yet, you know, we found out that if you are not careful on what you build upon the solid foundation of Christ, it will be tested by fire. How in the world can you prove your faithfulness to God if you are not willing to walk the straight and narrow path? All babies want is to have what they want, and when you deny those things, what do? They start crying. They start hollering because they unsatisfied because they didn't get what they want. Don't you know you don't always get what you want?
grown people who know Christ Jesus realize that, hey, life is not a bed of roses. It's something that we all have to deal with and go through in order to please God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what Jesus said. Not my will, Lord, but thine. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. If we want to be a prosperous congregation, and I'm not talking about physical profit. I'm talking about spiritual profit, where people can see our spiritual growth, that we become that light and that salt of the world. We have to stop acting like babies. Have to stop acting like them. And be willing to deal with things. Let's look at one other scripture and then I'm going to close this lesson out. Look at Romans chapter 8. Now, prior to 8, we read in chapter 7 where Paul was struggling with some things. Man, it was a war going on in his own physical mind. In verse 18 in chapter 7, he said, I know that no good thing dwelleth in the flesh. You know, in verse 24, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? Man, he's going through something. He is struggling. But yet I am here to tell you that if we don't go through the struggle, if we don't grow up and realize that we have to face some things in this life, we'll fall prey to Satan. In Romans chapter 8, starting at verse number 1. Listen as I read the text. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. I want you to understand that there is no repercussions if you are in Christ Jesus. But the repercussion for those who are outside of Christ is death. For the wages of sin is death. And if we don't make a change in our spiritual lives, we will fall prey, just like a baby will fall prey to the things of Satan. They don't call him a roaring lion for nothing. He says, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weaknesses of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in the body like the bodies we sinners have. I want you to understand, Christ wanted to relate to you. God needed an example, a sacrificial lamb that was willing to go through the things that you and I have to go through to show you the path that you needed to walk and how strong you needed to be in order to walk that path. No baby will survive this. No baby will survive this because of the war that is going on with the flesh and the spiritual man. See, if we are going to grow in Christ Jesus, let us grow spiritually, that we may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. But let me assure you this day, as soon as you leave this building, he's going to throw something your way. Hey, you can look out for it. See, that's the reason why the war is still raging. That's the reason why things are still happening. That's the reason why we see the church falling by the wayside, simply because of the fact that people ain't grown up yet. Too many babies in the church. And all they want to do is to be pacified and then just let it go the way it goes. We can't allow things to go the way babies want it to go, brothers and sisters. It has to be the way of Christ, or we won't be saved. I'm just here to encourage you today that let's grow up. Let's all grow up. I notice things about myself that I have to correct in my own personal life. And, you know, I have to grow up. And as God reveals these things to me through study and through application, then I can do something about it. But I can't grow unless I first learn what I have to go through in order to grow. See? I got to learn it. You just can't sit back and say, well, God saved me. Grace is free. Grace is only free to those who get up and get it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You got to get up and get it. You got to do something to earn it. People tell you, God's unmerited favor, sure. But if you're not willing to change and do what it takes to earn God's favor, then I'm sorry for you. You're still a baby. Still a baby. Let's just grow. Let's grow spiritually. Let's go to Bible class. Let's teach Bible classes. Let's prepare for these things that we may help each other in the struggle that we're in. Because every last person in here going through something. Every last person in here got some sort of problem, something on their hearts, something on their heads. That Lord, when you go to work, huh? And when you get up in the morning, when you try to go to sleep at night, some of you probably have to take something to go to sleep. Why? Because we're not spiritually mature yet. We need to grow. We need to grow. So I'm just encouraging you. Let's grow in Christ. Let's stop being babies. And let's be strong example for others that they may follow us as we follow Christ Jesus. If you're here today and you need to respond to him, that's who I'm asking you to respond to. Because he's the one that can help you and save you from your sins. He's the one that went through all of that agony to lead you to God. So if you're here today and you need to respond to my Lord, if you're not a Christian, you respond by believing what I've said today concerning Jesus, obeying it, taking some action. You know, not just sitting back and say it's going to happen. No, you got to take some action because you don't learn anything unless you apply yourself. Huh? In order to get a good education, you got to apply yourself, right? I'm talking about a spiritual education, my friend. You got to apply yourself. You just can't sit back and say it's just going to come to me. No, it just doesn't happen that way. Apply yourself. That's what believing is all about. I believe the word of God, and I'm going to take some action here. Believe it. And those things I need to change, you know, when you learn better, you do better. That's the way, you know, I used to have a brother by the name of Brother Clyde. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, Brother Clyde used to tell me all the time, he said, Brother James, you know, instead of our people getting older and wiser, it seems like we're getting older and stupid. You know, that's what Brother Clyde used to tell me. And, you know, I kind of see the church that way. We're supposed to be growing wiser and better, perfecting ourselves for the journey to heaven, but yet we seem to be falling by the wayside. We seem to be throwing our opportunities to serve God away. And that the reason for that is because we truly hadn't repented. We're still holding on to some of that mess that's dragging us and making us look like the world. Well, we want to adapt things that are according to the world and not according to God. Why can't we just stick with the straight and narrow? Why can't we just do what God wants us to do and leave the rest out? Huh? Why do we have to take on some other form? Don't you want to be like Jesus? Man, what did he do? He went to the cross for you. That's all I'm saying to you. Hey, let's repent. Let's do those things like Christ wants. That means to change some things. Turn from that which we know that is wrong, that's affecting and contaminating our lives. You know, if you had that virus like the people over in Liberia had, man, you would be in the hospital. They can put you in isolation, give you all kinds of medicine. All you want is you don't want that virus anymore, right? Well, sin is a virus. And we need to change. We need to get the medicine. And you get it by applying yourself to the Word of God. That's what repentance is all about, my friend. Because if you can't see you according to the Word, then you lost. And there's no hope outside Christ Jesus. Repent. Confess that Christ has the power to change you. Got to be willing to apply yourself and be buried in the water of grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, where you can start all over again and have a new life. And if you're a Christian, you've already done those things, then hey, let's get back on the faithful walk. I know it's rough. I'm trying to live it myself. I'm not exempt. You know, hey, I got to follow Jesus' steps. I want to have this personal relationship with God. So, hey, when I fall, I got to get up and do something about it. I got to ask God to forgive me. I ask the brethren to pray for me. That's what this is all about, us helping one another, because I know you going through something, I'm going through something, and we all got our crosses to bear. I ask you the question, does Jesus have to bear the cross all by himself? Or are you willing to change your life for the better, that you may be like Jesus? If you're here today and you need to respond to Christ, this is your opportunity while we stand and sing the invitation song.